Okay. Give me a 1, 2, 3 countdown and I'll go. And look right here so I can be centered on you right here. And then you can be gone. Good morning, brothers and sisters from West End. And good morning also to you who are joining us from the internet as you come around. West End Baptist Church is a fellowship of believers who welcome you as we come together weekly, most of the time in person here on off of Parham Street here in Richmond. But oftentimes in this unsettling time of sheltering in place and doing those things, we're coming across through Zoom. So this morning, you're not having Rayshawn, obviously, and you're not having Kevin, the two most prominent people who speak here at our church, who teach from our church, but you're having me. I'm a member of this church for about the last 6 years, and my name is John Brady. My wife and I, Jenny, are glad to be members of this church. As we begin this morning, I do want to thank Kevin and Rayshawn. Kevin has been our teaching pastor here for a long time, and now we have the privilege of having Rayshawn pastoring and preparing for this morning. Let me realize again what a wonderful work they do for us each and every week by digging into God's Word and preparing it and sharing with us. I would also like for those of you who are coming sometimes from a distance who may not know, I think most of us who are part of this congregation already know, that at 2:45 a.m. last Sunday morning, March 29th, Rayshawn and Tiffany and Zeke welcomed Gwyneth Rose Ramia. She's a beautiful light that in this really clouded time we're all living in. Ramia means Yahweh is exalted. That's a wonderful segue into the passage of scripture that we're looking at today, and we are grateful for this new addition into our church family. So I'm happy for you to be here with me today. Today I've been assigned the next passage of scripture that we're looking at in John 8. As you remember, Rayshawn taught us about the forgiveness of God and the way that God works right there at the very beginning of this chapter as Jesus dealt with the Pharisees who had brought him the woman caught in the act of adultery. Then last week, again, we had Kevin come and explaining to us as Jesus was revealing to the people of his day who he was. He began by showing that very important picture of himself as that he said, I am the light of the world. I illuminate things. I bring light to all. It also, in that passage of scripture, tells us that not only does he give us a witness, but that his Father also bears witness to that. And so the double witness of the Father and the Son actually speaks to the truth in our lives. So then today we're coming to chapter 8, verse 21 and following. Just to set the context of that and maybe to bring it into the context of your life today, over the last months or so, we have had the opportunity as a nation to meet Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Anthony Fauci has had what is considered some of those serious talks with those of us in America saying, you need to do this. This is the remedy for what you should do. You should be social distancing. What we're doing here this morning, social distancing. You should be doing that because that's our most powerful way to deal with the pandemic that's hitting us. Then he would come back sometime and say, I can tell you're not doing this because this is not having the effect that you want us to have. Yeah, those serious conversations with us again and again. Well, today, in this passage of scripture that we're looking at, Jesus is making an impassioned plea for conversion. He is doing it with that same kind of drawing us up close and say, listen to me, let me tell you why this is important and what you need to do. So if you have your Bible, which I trust you all do, join me as we look at John chapter 8, starting in verse 21. So here it starts. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just as I have been telling you from the beginning, I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word gives us access to you. We are so grateful for that great privilege of knowing you and knowing your word that you have revealed to us this day. So, Father, we just ask that we will have your word clear in our hearts, and that you would speak to each of us, that we might hear you clearly, and that the witness of the Father will be brought there as the Spirit quickens our hearts with a sense that your words are where life is found. And so, Lord, this day, open us up that we might actually gain from your word so many important things. In Jesus' the name which is above all names, we pray. Amen. This impassioned plea is so important. Jesus is just trying to make sure that each of us know that this is a very important time and that we need to be very clear about what we're about. He is saying to all of those who are there, right now is your decision time. You do need to make your decision to believe in me, to entrust your life to me, and to do those things in a way that allows you to, as he says in John 3:16, not perish, but have everlasting life, having that life everlasting. So right here in this passage of scripture, Jesus makes some real important things. As a matter of fact, this is the conversation that is a once-in-a-lifetime conversation, really. We have access to it, and maybe some of you have been in this conversation for a while. But today, he wants you to realize how unique and how powerful this conversation is. So he begins by saying, look, I'm going away, and you can't come where I'm going. And you'll die in your sins if you're seeking after me and you can't find me. You'll die in your sins. And right here in the rather stark way, he says the word sin. The latter part of this chapter, this paragraph, he says sins. But here he says you will die in your sin. And the reason that he comes there and says that is because he's speaking of that root sin. That sin that is first found there in Genesis chapter 3, where we, through Adam and Eve, began this rebellion that we have been living in, where he said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And we did. And we have. And that root sin puts us in that place where there's two centers to life. Either we have a God-centered life or a self-centered life. And if we are doing what self wants to do and following that, then we're rebelling against the life that is centered in God. And so when we come together, that sin is at the root of all other sins. And every other sin that has come from that, all the mayhem, all the destruction, all the things that we are feeling even in this world today, we result in that which cuts us off from God the Father. And Jesus says that we need to listen to him. This is an important time. You know, real love speaks the truth to us. It's not a lack of love to come and say, this is what is real, this is true. Sometimes we find ourselves not wanting to confront the truth. But when we speak the truth in love, that is real, real love. I can imagine that many of you, like me, when you're growing up, you had many people say, okay, John, you got to sit down and really understand what's happening here. This is your chance. You need to make a decision. Either you're going to do this and find a way forward, or you're just going to make a big mess. I remember one of those when my father just looked me in the eye and had that conversation. I remember two or three teachers who also had that kind of conversation with me. Those were privileged conversations. Those were privileged conversations because they changed the course of who I am. Right here in this place, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's giving us access to God himself. And God himself is speaking to us, saying, I have something for you to do. I have something for you to decide. As you remember, all the way through this passage here in John chapter 8, we're finding Jesus calling people to understand who he is and to believe in him. So we, as Christians, and those who might not even know Christ or don't even believe in Christ, need to spend a little bit of our time thinking, okay, what is it that I have here? And we who know the Lord know that this is access to God himself. There is no greater privilege in the world. So right here in these first part of this verse, he's telling us, you have access to me right now. Right now, this is your time to understand. They didn't understand right off the bat. The Jews said, well, what does he mean? So he's going someplace we can't go. Is he going to kill himself? And Jesus said, look, you're not making sense here. There's something else that you need to understand right here. And right here he says, you are from this world. I am not from this world. Basically, he's saying, you're an earthling. I am not. I'm from above. You're from below. He said these things so that people can begin to understand who he is and what he's about. He is here speaking to them, helping them understand that that he is not just the man who they see. He is speaking to them about something that is very, very important. He is saying, you need to understand that I am he. Well, you say, John, what does that mean? Well, I've had many friends who have told me, said, nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus say he is God. I go, well, okay, that is not true. I need to help you for a moment understand what this is. Here in English, which is a translation from that we have from Greek, and in Greek, he says basically what we translate as I am he. But that comes from the original Hebrew that we've often heard of. But just so that you can have the exact reference and see exactly what God is saying, and this is God himself, this is him speaking to us in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses says, when I go to talk to the people and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus, Yahweh, I am, is to be remembered throughout all generations forever. So right here in this passage of scripture, in English, we say, I am. If in English we pronounce the three Hebrew letters that come together to make this word, Yahweh. And this is who Jesus is saying. So that the Jews who were standing there, whether Jesus was speaking in Aramaic or in Greek, they understood clearly that Jesus was saying, I am. I am. That's my name. I am he. This is the one who is here. I have come to reveal myself to you. We know that this is traumatic for them because they have never met, nor have we met, nor has there ever been anyone else who could say that. He is speaking to them clearly. He wants them to remember that he is the physical manifestation. He is God in the flesh. We see throughout the Old Testament a number of things that give us clarity on this point. Because here he is speaking to us, letting us know that as God has come in numbers of places, he came to Abraham and he met Abraham several occasions. One time there at the Oak of Mamre. And there in the flesh, Yahweh, which Abraham addressed just like that, spoke to Abraham. We know that he also came to Isaac and made the same promise. And then we remember Jacob. Yeah, Jacob struggled with him at Peniel. And there he got a new name called Israel, the name that God gave him, saying one who had struggled with God. And so right here, Jesus is making an introduction clear. We have seen these I am statements all the way through this path, through this section of scripture, because he wants to be absolutely clear about who he is. But they didn't get it. You know, just like sometimes when we have that serious conversation with people and then they just don't understand us. Or I'm pretty sure as we're watching television right now, we're going, why don't so-and-so understand that you can't just go to the beach, you can't do this, you can't do that if you want to have true social distancing? Why can't people understand? And that's sort of the flavor that we're at right now in this passage of scripture as we're looking together. Because it comes back and says, who are you, Jesus? And Jesus very slowly looks at him. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. He says, I have much to talk to you about and much to judge. But he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from him. Now, they didn't quite understand the Father and the Son and that he was speaking about the Father. But he comes right after this in a moment and gives them some clarity to this whole process. He speaks to them with something that brings them to a place where Scripture has revealed to them a number of things that they cannot escape because they have heard them before. That's why he's speaking in this Jewish context. So he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know I am he. He said, John, what in the world are you talking about? How does that let them know that he is Yahweh? Well, if you just turn right back over for just a few pages in your Bible and you come to Luke 17. And you come down here in Luke 17, you'll see in verse 24 something that will make things a lot clearer to you. This is the whole place where he's introducing from Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. When you look at Daniel, you find there that the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man come together in that place. And that the Son of Man is given dominion and power over all of those things, every nation, every language, every tribe, every people. And that Jesus is coming and he is saying that I am that very manifestation of God to you. I am the second person of the Godhead. And I have come here this day to explain to you that, and as is prophesied in the Old Testament, that that one would be hoisted up, lifted up, that the Son of Man would be there. That is when we hear about the crucifixion. Jesus alludes to this pretty clearly in John chapter 3. Right before John 3:16, he said, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So right here in this passage of scripture, as we're looking, Jesus is identifying himself as God in the person who is going to the cross, and the cross of Christ, where he is lifted up there right at the center of all of time, in the place where people have an opportunity to see a God who loves so much, who loves them so much, that he would step into the midst of rebellion, in the midst of sin, and he would provide a way. He would provide a way that we might be rejoined and have that access to God like we had in Eden long ago as human beings. And that he would pay for all of the multitude of dastardly deeds, the violence, the theft, the killing, the mayhem, and even the brokenness of the whole world in which we presently live. He would pay for it. He would redeem it. He would make the difference for it. He would stand in our stead. And as John so clearly remembers Jesus saying there in John 3:16, that whoever puts their trust in him, Jesus, the unique, the only Son of God, would not perish, but have life everlasting. What a message that is so poignant for our day and for the people with which we live and the people who are around us. They need to know that Jesus is God and that he has come and that his cross is our solution. We have heard that here week in and week out as Rayshawn and Kevin and others who've come have spoken so clearly to us and reminding us time and time again that the way of salvation is the cross. The way that we are redeemed is the cross. And the price that our lives are worth is the cross. Jesus understands that each of our lives, each of the lives of those who would believe in him, can be saved. He loved this world so much. And for what reason we will only understand in eternity. He loved us so much that he died for us, that we might have life everlasting. Jesus was quite aware of this when he was teaching his disciples, said, no greater love has one for another than that he would lay down his life for another, for a friend. Here's what Jesus does. So just in that moment, he is saying, he goes on to say, hey, I'm not doing this on my own authority, but I'm doing this, I'm telling you just exactly what the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. The Father is with him. He is not separate from the Father. He is listening to the Father and doing exactly what the Father has taught him. And he's saying that. And you know what? Jesus reverses our rebellion, the things that don't please God, because he does just the exact opposite. He does everything he does pleases God. And while that was happening, something amazing happened. And this happens again and again around this world, every day with many people. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. There we have the authentication of the word. There is where the second witness comes. There is where the Spirit quickens the heart and makes sure that we know and understand exactly what the Father has said to us through the Son and bears witness of that. I'm sure that you can remember a different time in your life. Sometime in your life when you have heard those words. And those words pierced in, and you could feel that inside who you were. And knowing that that witness being born inside of you also is confronted by the word that you have heard. And that when you believe, that suddenly something changes. In my own life, I know when that happened. I happened to be a little boy. And now sometimes that happens when you're young, and sometimes that happens later on in life. But I remember a particular Sunday. At my home, my parents were Christians, and my dad used to say on a regular basis, no Bible, no breakfast. And so every morning we would have Bible reading, and we would read. And one Sunday morning, I realized that if the Lord Jesus came back, I would not be one of his children because I'd never trusted him for myself. And that just wore on my heart all day. My mother spoke with me, and she spoke with the same kind of clarity that this scripture spoke. And my dad's cousin, she lived with us, and she was explaining to me again and again that, you know, our hearts are rebellious from the beginning. We have sin. But it takes the blood of Christ that comes across our heart. He paid for it with his very life. Life is in the blood, as the Bible tells us. And that he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us. I remember that night, my dad was a pastor there where we lived in northeastern South America. And he was preaching on the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And that night I said to God, not my will, but I want your will in my life. And I am sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, I live every day with the consciousness of what happened to me that night. God touched my life. He carried me through many struggles in my life. I'm a dyslexic, so I struggled through school. I had other kinds of things, but God was faithful to me, and he carried me through. I had disappointments from Christians, but God was faithful to me. I disappointed myself. I disappointed God. I did a number of things, but God kept after me. I remember again when I was in college that God arrested me and said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And I knew at that moment again that God was speaking to me and saying, no, you've given yourself to me. You've entrusted your life to me. And again, I watched his hand guide me, direct me over the course of my life. And I can commend to you this passage of scripture as being absolutely the truth. So if you're believing and you're trusting him, the next words are for you. Because Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the first step that we take as a believer We get into His Word. We abide in His Word. We make that our home. We have those places where we let that sync up with us. So it's not just going and hearing someone preach or speak, even though that's very important, but it's that daily abiding in His Word, letting His Word speak to us, letting us move forward. We will know that we are His disciple. And when we know that we are His disciple, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Our world needs to know this. So those of you who are ready, believe, this is the time. This is the time for us to boldly point people to this fact that Jesus says, look, I am telling you, this is my name. I am Yahweh. I am He. I am the Son of Man who will come on the clouds in judgment on that last day. I am the one and only way for you to have life and life eternal. And His Word is true and faithful, and you can put your entire trust in it. It will not fail you. That is what our world needs to hear today. In a time where, with constant change around us, with people feeling the ills and the effects of sin in so many ways, whether it be in wars, whether it be in all of the other kind of things that happen, or whether it is a result of the fallenness of nature, where we have such things like the corona, the COVID-19 virus going around, or we have the lack of ventilators, or we have so that we are not able to be able to access the cures that are available for us. All of those things are devastations. They're marks of sin in the nature and in the world. And so today I'm inviting you, in your rebelliousness, walk back and center your life on God and not on yourself. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had looking into Your Word. Open it up more deeply. Help us to see all that we need to see in it and through it, so that You might be honored and glorified in all that You are doing in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Each week, I invite you to come back to West End Baptist Church, either in person or online. This church faithfully speaks the Word of God and lives by the Word of God. And that is at the heart of who we are. Thank you so much. And I pray that this week will be a week of walking with Christ in your life. I don't know how long that was, but
35 minutes or so.
Okay, that's what I was shooting for.
It
says 33. Okay, perfect. He told me to be done in 35.
Yeah, so you did. You came in. Now, that was just the first minute or two of us getting it rolling.
Okay, so it might be even less.